Did you want to burp?
I don't have any more. I can't conjure them. They just happen.
Why not? That's what happens.
It's too short not to let the burp out. Right?
That's what happens when you decide to burp right before I start recording a podcast episode. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to keep this short. And primarily because of my freaking constant temptation to put a bow on everything and act like I've got all the answers. Here's some shit that I'm trying to figure out in life that I'm not, I haven't completely worked out, but I'm getting in conversations with friends, whether conversations with Sarah here, or just in my, in just my, the zeitgeist of my awareness in life. I've been starting to get clues that of a relationship between curiosity, creativity, and fear, and that it seems like they can't coexist at the same time. Okay, here's an example of it. I recently came across a talk from John Cleese, best known for his time in Monty Python, a freaking brilliant comedian. He said this about creativity and fear.
Nothing that will stop you being creative so effectively as the fear of making a mistake. Now, if you think about play, you'll see why. True play is experiment. What happens if I do this? What would happen if we did that? What if the very essence of playfulness is an openness to anything that may happen, a feeling that whatever happens, it's okay. So you cannot be playful if you're frightened that moving in some direction will be wrong, something you shouldn't have done. I mean, you're either free to play or you're not. As Alan Watts puts it, you can't be spontaneous within reason. So you've got to risk saying things that are silly and illogical and wrong. And the best way to get the confidence to do that is to know that while you're being creative, nothing is wrong. There's no such thing as a mistake, and any drivel may lead to the breakthrough. And now, the last factor, the fifth, humor. Well, I happen to think the main evolutionary significance of humor is that it gets us from the closed mode to the open mode quicker than anything else.
Okay, so that's been part of the conversation. But then someone shared me this quote from Elizabeth Gilbert, who I freaking love, talking about a creative life and a curious life. And it made me think, oh man, this might be bigger than just the things we're creating. It might be about the life we're making as well.
My definition of a creative life is any life where your decisions are routinely based more strongly on your curiosity than your fear every single day in all your realms of your life. And then your life itself will become a work of art, and it doesn't matter what you make or produce or leave or influence. It's just that you will create a life that will be really interesting for you, which is the person who you want to keep the most entertained.
Yeah, right.
Sarah's working from home. Here, give me some typing background noise.
You broke
your email. And I just told Sarah the concept about this episode, that curiosity is the opposite of fear. And her response was, yeah, that's obvious. Why is it obvious?
Oh my God, you just really set me up.
Well, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on it? Is it obvious? I want to know what the first thing that comes to your mind is.
Okay, the first thing that comes to mind, and I've actually talked to you about this a lot, and unfortunately, it's not very cohesive. But years ago, I went to a conference, nonprofit conference. This lady read a poem that was talking about the poem, which I could never find again. I'm just Googling it now. I'm failing. But talking about how important it is, metaphorically, but also literally, to be curious enough to meet your neighbor, the person that you maybe have preconceived notions about or stereotypes or prejudices against, and being open and being curious, and then you meet them and suddenly this neighbor is now a friend. Sounds corny, but it was a really beautiful poem. And so that's what comes to mind when I think about curiosity over fear is, and this is obviously a deep topic, talking about like race stuff in this case, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you're curious enough to get to know a person or hear more of the story or humanize and put a face to something that was cloudy and gray in your head, that's going to get rid of fear. Because fear, if you think about a flame, a super corny, but and you put it out, you remove oxygen from the flame. That's like what you're doing with curiosity and fear.
Yeah.
The more information you get, the more fear shrinks.
Yes.
So for me also, I had that little year where I was freaked out about flying because I had a bad flight.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't have time for this shit. I got places to go. So instead, I educated myself a shit ton on planes. And now I'm not afraid because I was curious and learned.
Where I'll get Strider off.
Strider is climbing on top of our... He has this freaking habit of climbing on top of our stack of vinyl records. And I have the plastic sleeves on them, thank God. But he's just destroyed them. And so now... I don't know why he starts scratching this crap, but it's completely just demolished. So we need to find a better way to store our vinyl instead of just being out. I don't know. I'm just I'm painting a picture of the situation. Striders, get the hell off there. Okay. I love this. Oh.
Man, I'm not very articulate today because I'm working, but.
I know. And the whole point, so that's why I'm leading this episode with, hey, there aren't any answers here. This isn't advice. This is just a topic that's been on, like, coming up lately. Fear and curiosity. Because if curiosity kills fear, I like your thoughts that the one thing that fuels fear maybe is the unknownness about it. I've had a ton of people, and I think it works outside of, okay, you're talking about relationally. But I think it also has to do with flights, but stage fright is the same thing. I've had a ton of people reach out to me asking my advice on combating stage fright. Now, there is a side of just anxiety, like serious deep within you, that is a real like petrifying thing. But one of the deals I always say is a thing, comfortability always kills stage fright. I don't get any sort of even like, no nervousness. I played a show on Monday here in Minneapolis, had zero like any like tinge of, I didn't even want to say excitement, but I had none of those like, ooh, we're about to go on stage. It was just like, no, I've this side stage in front of this amount of people is just, I mean, I'm so comfortable doing that and beyond. I had no fear. But it's the unknownness of the uncomfortable, like, this is outside my comfort zone because I haven't played in front of this many people before. That's when it sets in. But the more you do that, it becomes more comfortable with you. Yeah. I feel like, I've talked about this on the podcast before. Growing up, man, even through like early, like high school, I dealt with some like, I wouldn't call them night terrors, but like I would call them night anxiety.
Yeah.
And just dealing with anxiety around dark places, being alone in the evening. And what it was I realized after working through a lot of that was, it was the unknownness, that feeling you have when you're in like a dark basement and you're walking up the stairs and the lights are off behind you, that feeling of like wanting to walk up the stairs faster and get out of there. Like, you know, nothing's behind you, but because it's dark, it's almost like that Harry Potter thing. It's like, it's almost the fear of the unknownness of it. That you can't see exactly everything. And that's what kind of like the fear of dark is.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, well, I don't know. It's probably a million combinations, but, not the unknown and also the lack of control.
Dude, yes.
Like, I'm going back to flying in this case. Like, obviously, I would not be a good pilot. I don't know anything about flying a plane, but it's because I'm not in control of the plane and some random person is that I don't know. That's sort of, I think, in the mix for a lot of people is fear of flying, for example.
Me, you and I on my motorcycle, me on the front at the handlebars, is a totally different experience than you hanging on to me in the back.
Yes. I don't know how to drive that motorcycle, and I know you do, but because I'm not in control, I don't like it.
Yeah. And that's why I love this Liz Gilbert audio that I just shared that I've been listening to, talking about living a curious and creative life instead of making decisions based off of fear. I think that's the number one thing. I think that's the deal with why so many of my friends that I grew up with making music, and they had the goal of like, I want to do this with my life. That's why so many of them don't. I would say the overwhelming, okay, here's the deal. The overwhelming of people like that I was in college with studying music who no longer play music anymore. Like everybody I'm sure has a part of it in their just like maybe in their personal life, but they're not doing that as a major segment of their life. I would say the majority of those people who are no longer doing it did not stop pursuing music because something else became more, they became so much more passionate about something else. Like, oh, I did the music thing and now something else came along and became super passionate about that and excited me and I went down that trajectory. The majority of reasons why people stopped doing it was out of fear, like needing the certainty of a paycheck or just life happens and you have to follow something else. You got to make things happen. But there is so much freaking fear about, man, I experience, dude, Sarah, you and I are talking about this all the time, even now. I'm the fear of what's the future look like? What's the blankness? If you're a freelancer, specifically in a creative life, there's a window in front of you of like 4 to 6 months that you have an idea of what's coming up with gigs. But then there's always like the year out. I think Seth Godin says the cursed question of a freelancer is always what's the next thing? Because you always have to be figuring that out and like you're laying down the railroad tracks in front of you constantly in life. And there's a ton, an overwhelming amount of fear that comes with that. And so it's a constant decision in the creative life, I think, to take that fear out of the driver's seat and put it in the back seat of your life. Get your hands off the steering wheel. Get your hands off the radio. And it's a constant setting down of it. So anyways, this is just what's been on my mind lately.
Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. We hope you'll enjoy.
Meow.